Coming to you live from the Hall of Truth, it's the Nate Darling Show.
Fire a warning shot across her nose.
With Jason Casey and Kareem Daniels. And now, relax, good citizen.
Nothing! You've got nothing!
Here's Nate.
All right, oh, I sniffed off the top, just like the president.
Okay, there you go. The Adderall.
Hey, everybody. We're back for another episode of the Nate Darling Show. Hope you had a great week. So bad. We got a lot to get to. Shaquille O'Neal is defending Kevin Hart.
Oh,
that's the long and the short of it.
Yeah.
I have figured out why Trump's autocorrect misses everything.
Oh, I yeah, let's hear it.
Well, we'll get to that.
All right,
we'll get to that.
Let's hear it.
But we're gonna start out by going, hey, how was your week, Jason?
Oh, my week was it was great. I did a lot of improv this last week, and I went to a production meeting for a movie.
Oh,
and for a bunch of like that, this guy I know is making a bunch of short films. Nick Coleman is his name.
Okay,
and I'm going to be the line producer for this shoot. trying to see what's up with that.
Okay.
Do
you know what a line producer does?
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a very small, like, very small thing. So, like, basically, my job in this situation is to keep the day on track.
Okay.
I communicate between the, you know, the people that are setting up the next shot, like, knowing which shot goes next, and, mm-hmm. you know, being the person that talks to the director, mm-hmm. And then communicates to other people.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
So that's basically what I'll be doing, which is just, I want to start doing this type of stuff.
Okay.
And we're shooting this weekend.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
That was my next question.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
And the weather will clear right out. I don't know if you have any outdoor shoots scheduled.
No, but it's all... Well, yes, but it's all right, if that's...
The rain will be ending by then.
Awesome.
As we're sitting here in Sacramento, rainy night.
Yes.
Rainy night here on Tuesday night in Sacramento, and where it's going to rain through Thursday, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome, everybody. There's your Sacramento weather.
There's your Sacramento weather.
Of course, people listening all over the country and around the world are excited to know that it's raining in Sacramento.
You know the best thing about when it rains in Sacramento? Generally, it stays, like, fairly, like, I wouldn't say warm outside, but considering that it's raining outside, it stays warmer outside.
Well, yeah, it's nothing like being in an actual cold climate.
Well, because it does get cold here. Like, some mornings, like, you wake up and it's, 30, you know.
It's like 38.
It's like 36 out.
Oh, my God. It's terrible.
But now you're waking up and it's like 49 because it's raining and it's been overcast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just say it. It's dope.
All right. Kareem, what you been up to?
Oh.
I saw you at the Kings game.
Kings game last night. They did MLK night last night. And so my friend we call each other business partners.
Okay.
Milton Bowens, Milton 510 Bowens, has some art exhibited at the game.
Is that his given middle name, 510? Is that on his birth certificate?
His middle name is, I don't even know what his middle name is, but he goes by 510 because he's the fifth boy out of 10. He's a fifth boy out of 10 children.
Okay.
And then he just happens to be born in Oakland, so that kind of fits in there, but that's why.
Okay.
But he had an exhibit up for MLK night at the game last night. So he got to be interviewed and be on the Jumbotron. And, you know, I helped him get the art there and back. It was a great, we had a really good time. Kings won.
What?
They beat Portland from start to finish.
Damn!
Kings have flashes of being really good, and then they lose to Phoenix.
Yes. And they should have beat... They were beating the shit out of Phoenix before they...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, remember when you used to play NBA Jam back in the day and the Phoenix Suns were dope?
Yes.
Yeah, Kevin Johnson was on the team.
Yes.
And Charles Barkley.
Charles Barkley. Danny Ainge.
That's a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
It sure was.
Yeah. And then I had a couple of meetings for my project, Invisible Man, Reclaiming the Image of the Black Father. I met with some book publishers on Saturday. They do self-publishing, but I met with them Saturday, and then I met with somebody else to collaborate with. And actually, I ended up meeting one of the guys who does video for the Kings last night. We talked about possible him helping me with some video stuff. So
okay,
it was a good week.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
Nice. My week was interesting. By the way, I teased last week I might have an announcement. I do not have an announcement.
Nope.
Sorry. No announcement this week.
Well, maybe next week.
Come back next week for announcements.
This is how you're going to hook them in.
Yep.
This is how you're hooking them in.
That is exactly how I'm going to do it. Come back next week. Maybe there'll be an announcement. This week, no announcement. That's my announcement. Nothing to report
nothing
here.
To report here.
Nothing to report
hey,
here.
His life is the same as it was last week.
Pretty close, yeah. A lot of similarities going in there. You know, did applied for some jobs, submitted the stuff to unemployment so I can get that sweet, sweet unemployment.
Yeah.
Sweet, sweet. Hey, at least you qualified immediately for it.
Be like the federal workers. My buddy George is an air traffic controller. He got a check for $16 last week.
Yeah. I mean, look, I'm not complaining about it. I'm just saying that's the way the situation is now. Ironically, you know what's really funny and ironic? I could not be happier. I mean, my wife is super supportive. I'm, you know, figuring out what's going to be the next thing and looking around at various opportunities that are out there. And I could not be happier. You don't realize how unhappy you are in a situation until you're removed from the situation. And clearly, I was unhappy in the situation. For whatever reason, you know, anytime you get out of a bad relationship that you're in, you're like, oh, I can't believe she broke up with me. And then you're like, wait a minute, that worked out great.
Exactly.
That was a positive thing.
You know, change is, and Adam Carolla says this, and I don't listen to Carolla anymore, but this is one of the things he preaches on, and I absolutely believe this. Change is almost always for the better. It makes you grow. It allows you time to look at who you are and where you want to go. And if you think back upon the changes in your life with a critical eye, you probably aren't going to find a whole lot of changes in your life that were negative.
Yes.
I mean, you might, because you're doing a lot of drugs.
I wasn't doing a lot of drugs. I mean, come on.
Just a little drugs and a lot of alcohol?
No, it was a lot of alcohol and marijuana. Like, yeah,
Do you even remember the changes that you made? That's the question.
Yeah, no, I do. But then, I mean, like, breaking my leg. Yeah, no, that's completely positive. I mean, that's true.
Now,
it's true.
That doesn't mean it happens immediately. Sometimes there is a change of pace.
Well, that was the... Me breaking my leg, for instance, mm-hmm. like you could look at breaking your leg and not being able to walk for 6 months, and then having it walk assisted for the next 8 to 9 months. Mm-hmm. It's a bad thing.
Sure, at the time.
Really, it was probably one of the most positive things that ever happened to me and showed me a whole bunch of humility that was needed for a young 30-year-old.
Like, well, and I'm sure that came in handy when you decided that you weren't going to be taking in any more alcohol.
I mean, like, that was the actual first real time I ever felt any issue with addiction or, like, knew that, like, I could be susceptible to it without being talked out of it generally by myself, because that's what it does, was when I was using pills. I was prescribed pills for my leg. And I was on them for over a year, and my doctor had no problem giving me, like, 75 to 100 pills a month. And, like, we're talking, like, you know, maybe you're supposed to take... He expecting me to take 5 to 10, like, so many a day. To make 75 the right number, and that was like 7.5. Like,
mm-hmm. That's how we ended up in the opium crisis. Yeah, no,
exactly, but I knew to get out. I had experience through my mom seeing people on it,
right?
And knew I needed to stop, and that my doctor wasn't going to tell me for some reason.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like I said, you should really go back and watch the 60 Minutes.
I know, I saw it.
And they were shipping like millions of pills to like one county in Kentucky.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Listen, the somewhat attractive chick with the rolling suitcase gave your doctor some pens and some notepads.
Oh, yeah.
And so he had to prescribe those pills. A lot of them.
Yes. Anyhow, so... Yeah. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, so it's all usually, so you're growing, I guess, is what.
Sure.
And you're enjoying yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm experiencing a state of contentment, so to speak.
That's awesome.
I'm at peace with myself.
Have you started sitting under a Bodhi tree?
I have not. I might do the lemon tree in the front yard.
You could achieve enlightenment out there. What do you say, Kareem? You guys out there starts meditating now that he's feeling some contentment.
Hey, you guys need to do that. Then you stop thinking that my posts are vague and you'll understand.
Well, your posts are vague.
They're not vague. They're for people who are enlightened.
There you go. So this week, this Netflix, there's a show called Tidying Up with Marie Kondo.
Okay. Yeah,
you've heard of it?
I've heard. Yeah, yeah. I was introduced to her about a year and a half ago.
Okay, so Marie is a Japanese lady who apparently speaks no English at all, and she has a show on Netflix that just lit the world on fire, and people are super into it, including my wife. And it's about getting rid of clutter in your life. The physical clutter around your house. And we started doing that this week. Specifically, Leslie started doing that this week we went to her closets. And what you have to do is you have to take everything out. And this is closed. So you take it out, you throw everything from your closets onto your bed. Everything. And you hold up the item of clothing and you think, does this item of clothing bring me joy? And if it doesn't bring you joy, you thank it for its service, and then you put it in a donate pile. And if it does bring you joy, then you keep it. I had no idea Leslie had this many clothes. Oh my God. It was just her closets, her two closets, one in the bedroom, then there was a smaller closet in another room. Just that was over 4 hours of going through clothes.
Wow.
Ended up donating a stack of kind of formal wear, business type stuff that she doesn't need, and two large garbage bags full of clothes to weave.
Cool.
Out of that situation. So that's what we were doing. I need to go through. And I don't know that I'm going to be doing thanking things for their service. But, you know, who knows?
Well, if you wanted to get spiritual about it, I guess you could do that. But I think it's really just more about the fact of looking at something and saying, does this make me happy? And if it doesn't, then just get rid of it. Like, you know, this thing, you know.
Sure. And, you know. I mean, the other thing is, it's a way to part with something where you're like, I'm not really sure I got a lot of enjoyment out of this. Then you go, well, thanks. I got a lot of enjoyment out of you. And it's time for you to move on.
Yeah.
And the same thing goes, you go through your whole house, like your cat. Yep. We've got to go through the cabinets because we've got a ton of coffee mugs. And we've got right behind Kareem, there is a shoe holder hanging over the closet door, and it is filled with water bottles. Of various sizes because we didn't have room for them in the kitchen cupboards. So that's an area we're going to hit too. Because maybe we don't need 16 water bottles between the two of us. I mean, just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
We probably don't. But you take everything out because you don't realize how much stuff you have until you take it out. Or you move.
Usually moving is the big one.
Sure.
Yeah. that's where you really like, you're like,
oh my God.
Bah.
Yeah, it really, really is.
Oh man. When I moved from San Diego to up here, I had a one bedroom house full of stuff and I could only take with me what fit in to my 1999 Nissan, Altima. That's all I could take with me.
That will cut down on your stuff.
So, yeah, I've been doing condo before you was a thing.
Right, but it's not all sake and rice noodles. Yeah. No. Apparently, it's become a thing because she claims that you should only own 30 books, no more than 30 books. But fans have been keen to defend the expert on uncluttering. The Guardian said, "Are books clutter? Why Marie Kondo's advice to give them away has not sparked unanimous joy."
Sounds like clickbait.
Of course it is. someone named Jenna Morrissey said on Twitter, "Book Twitter. Book Twitter's a thing?
Yes.
Does it overlap with Black Twitter at all?"
Probably not.
Stop freaking out over Marie Kondo. I'm an author, and I still agree you don't need to own a ton of books. Ebooks exist. If you want to own a shitload of books, great. But if someone else wants to declutter, who cares? Isn't there a more worthwhile hill to die on?
It's kind of true. Yeah.
So,
but I want to yell at people over things that I disagree with on social media.
And there's a thing. This is a thing. You can do whatever you want to do. It doesn't mean that everybody has to support what you do.
Yeah.
Like you see the moms who decided they want to mock models by posing like the models. Like, look, if a guy wants to date you because you have a mom body or you're a big girl, cool. But everybody in the world doesn't have to want to date you because you exist. If you're gay, everybody doesn't have to like you because you're gay. Maybe you're gay and you're just a horrible person.
I've seen some of that, yeah.
Yeah.
On reality shows a lot.
Yeah.
But then again, the straight people are terrible on those too.
Exactly. And it's the same thing. Like, I have gay friends, but they're my friends because they're good people.
Oh, Kareem has gay friends. Because
they're not my friends because they're gay.
Yeah. I think I've heard this before.
Sure, sounds familiar.
Sounds like I've heard conversations like this.
Mm-hmm. Look, I've got a lot of gay friends.
Yeah, I got plenty. I got so many gays. I listen to gay music, all right? I listen to gay music. I'm totally... I watch musicals, bro.
I know, right? You watch musicals. Anyway.
Okay, back to your point.
Yeah, sorry.
Anyway, we're at a place where everybody in society thinks that everybody has to be for what they're for. And that's not the fucking case. We don't all like the same shit, and that's okay. My parents my family taught us early, not everybody's going to like you. And that's okay. Do your own thing and keep the shit moving. Like I said, we're at a place where everybody wants everybody to be on board for everything that you do. But like, no. And I don't have to be on board for all your shit. And if you don't have the cojones or the gumption to keep moving without everybody on board with you, then that's your problem.
That's a you problem.
That's a you problem.
Not a Korean problem.
No. It's not even a society problem. That's a you problem.
Coincidentally enough, speaking of Marie, Marilyn Haggerty said January is time to organize. So let's...
You fucking assholes, Netflix. You knew what you were doing. It's the first of the year. Hey, let's put condo on. Everybody's going to be trying to declutter and get better.
Oh, my God. Big.
And I'm a person who owns 400 books, so fuck Marie.
If you want books, like, if you told her that you wanted your books, I'm sure she's the type of... Like, if you watch the show, she'd be like, okay. Like, that's she's not going to tell you to get rid of it.
She'll take your money, and you can keep all your stuff if you want.
Right.
She's just there to help you.
Yeah. So, like, if you don't want to give her the book, like... And you probably have them displayed nicely, and it's part of, like, the actual house that you're living in, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's different than having...
Or they're holding up your bed.
Yeah.
No, mine aren't holding up my bed.
There's a difference between, I think, what she's talking... Like, she would probably say that I have too many books, because they're all kind of... In my... Books. I have a lot of books. Yeah.
There's not really anything in this Marilyn Haggerty article that's interesting, but the headline, January is the time to organize. Then she starts talking about North Dakota hockey, basketball at the Betty.
Did she tell you how to organize?
No. Apparently boosters are gathering for lunch, talking about weekend hockey games. The Chamber of Commerce dinner is set for the 24th. Josh Brown's going to begin his year as chairman. They talked about the future and an overall appreciation of the past. There's the East Grand Forks Rotary, the Grand Forks Exchange Club. There's no real mention of organizing in this entire article at all. There's literally nothing about organizing in here.
And then in the Ask Maryland, but in the Ask Maryland, I'm sure there'll be something about, like, how's the best way to get something off of my window? Or, like, how's the best way, right? That's going to be something.
First question, why did they take down that walking bridge across the Red River downtown? The answer, nobody seems to know.
Okay, well, the next question will be about cleaning, right?
What kind of license plates have been seen lately? There's Bee Beep, and also Sin City and Night Owl. Also not yours. And the final question, whatever happened to those old-fashioned bathtubs? You know, the ones that stood alone on little legs?
I
mean, the clawfoot bathtubs. Yes, they're back and they're all the rage. Unless you've cut it in half, put it in your yard with a statue of the Virgin Mary in it.
Oh, yeah, you can do that.
A lot of people already have. The cheerful people of the week, by the way, are Brad Trenbreath and June Murdoch.
Oh, come on. Are you serious?
Brad and June.
Marilyn, what the fuck? Like, I need to send her a message, like, just be like, listen, we read your stuff on, like, January. Like, you didn't talk about one thing about having organized. Like, no, you didn't give any, like, you can't just say that.
That's why it's not in small town news, Jason.
Well, thank goodness. You should have brought up in the, now I have something to fucking bitch about, man.
There you go.
This bitch.
If we had time for grievances, we'd get into that.
This bitch.
All right, so let's talk about.
Oh, Marilyn, it's on.
Let's talk about, Donald Trump had the Clemson Tigers, the national champions, to the White House, and he was very excited because he was getting them fast food from Wendy's, McDonald's, and Burger King's. That's a quote, Burger King's, because he thought that's what they liked. And sure, they ate it, and a lot of people were pretty stoked on it because, you know, they're 18, 19, 20-year-olds. And the government shut down.
Well, and it's free food.
Right. Although there were a few of them that were like, our nutritionist is going to have a fit. Oh, yeah, because they're highly tuned athletes who have been doing nothing but watching their nutrition and training their bodies for the past, I don't know, several years.
Yeah.
With a few breaks here and there. Some of them have the combine coming up, too.
Yeah.
So I cannot imagine what their digestive systems were like today. Because if you eat healthy and then you just mow on, by the way, lukewarm stuff.
Yeah.
Because they put it on these big trays and stacked it up in the dining room and then lit candles in giant golden candelabras.
Oh, yeah. And they put the French fries in presidential cups.
Well, sure.
Presidential paper cups.
French fries already come in paper cups.
Yeah.
So it seems kind of wasteful.
Yeah. So you know those shits were cold as hell.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
Oh, cold and nasty.
It was bad times. But the president, tweeted, let me find his actual tweet here, because I think that's important. He was tweeting all about it, and let me find his Twitter feed. I'll try and sort through all of the stuff about a wall, if we can get to all of that. Let's see. Being great with the national champion Clemson Tigers last night at the White House, because of the shutdown, I served them massive amounts of fast food. Parenthetical, I paid, close parenthetical, over 1,000 hamburgers, etc. Within 1 hour, it was all gone. Great guys and big eaters.
Dabo Swinney, who's the coach of the Clemson Tigers, you need to be kicked in your ass for taking your kids to that shit.
So, here's the other thing. His tweet has since been deleted. That had a misspelling in it, and
but it's part of the the record, though, forever, right?
It's part of the president. Although he deleted it and replaced it, which is technically not okay. Someone had to get it. He tweeted that he bought over 1,000 hamburgers.
Go ahead.
Hamburgers. Burger King today tweeted, due to a large order placed yesterday, we're all out of hamburgers. Just serving hamburgers today. So I started to ask myself, how is it? Because autocorrect is the bane of everyone's existence. If you have a word that's a little bit off, it autocorrects to something else. How does hamburgers get through? And he has a lot of misspellings. How do they all get through? Well, you could go, well, he has an Android and they suck. But that's a cop out. So what I think happened was he bitched so much that autocorrect was changing his insults to people that he had somebody who knew what they were doing go in and disable autocorrect.
You're probably right.
So there's no autocorrect on the presidential tweet phone.
You think that's it?
Well, how else does hamburgers get through?
That
it's going to get through on my phone now because I was tweeting hamburgers today, and I had to go through and change it.
Well,
so because my iPhone was not going to let me say hamburgers.
I'm sure that it's probably something like he typed it in and it changed it to something else that he didn't think that was right, and he went back, typed it again, and then hit the check mark. And so said it was right, and like he does that because he's always right, right? So like when he does write something wrong, he probably says that it's right. Like cause
I don't like this phone. It corrects me. No one corrects me.
Make it
stop correcting me.
Yeah, like, I know how to spell hamburgers. I know how to spell hamburgers. But so, it could just be this amazing that they turned off his autocorrect.
He had to. So earlier today I tweeted, I got a solid theory about why the president's autocorrect didn't catch hamburgers and other mistakes. It's because they've turned it off. Because he will not be contradicted even by autocorrect. Liberal autocorrect will not hold him down.
That's for elitists wanting to spell correctly.
Yeah, and illegals who don't know the language as well as I do. I know the language gooder than everybody. Don't be correcting me.
Man, suck a dick, Trump.
All right, up next. And this I filed under, people think this?
I can't wait to hear it.
Oh, it's very exciting. The gentleman's name is Jesse Lee Peterson. We have played him on the show before. He is an African-American gentleman, and he has a theory of what needs to happen, or we're screwed.
But don't we end up with a kind of parasitic relationship between any group entering in a society then? Because you have other groups living in white society.
That's not him.
They tend to reproduce more, or the migrants of these groups tend to have higher birth rate. So we never really have a stable society because everyone wants to live among whites, but they're not able to reciprocate in terms of handling society, in terms of making a society the way you...
Okay. Kareem, everyone wants to live among whites, correct?
No.
Okay, so that's the theory being put out here by this clear foreigner. This is not an American accent I'm hearing. You can be a white nationalist from another land, which clearly is happening here. So that's the setup.
You describe it. So there's an infinite drainage of the ability of white to live among other people, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is. That's why they need to close the back door and the front door in this country and in Europe and clean up the mess. And then if you decide you want to let people of color in again, maybe you can be real selective like they did in the good old days about who you let in. But
hold on. How old are the good old days he's talking about?
Oh, back when they were bringing slaves over.
When it was only the strongest and fittest?
When he could, live in a white neighborhood.
Okay, so again, this is an African American gentleman speaking.
And another thing that we are doing too, we are encouraging white people to get married. Don't have babies out of wedlock. Don't abort your children. But white people need to get married and have a truckload of white children, and teach them in the right way to go, so they can help save America and Europe, because it's not going to be saved by the people of color. It will be destroyed. And white people, for whatever reason, have been convinced that they need to have one child or two kids or not even any children, put their career first. The women are putting their career first. And as a result, they're going to end up being wiped out because they're not creating other white children. They need to have a truckload of white babies so that they can take over where the older whites are leaving off.
Now.
Truckloads of white babies.
Truckloads.
Now, the thing is, what he just said is actually the basis of why a lot of things are being put out or being done the way they are right now. So all of this shit about maternal leave and all this, because I told you this, it's all to get the white birth rate up. The white birth rate right now is at the lowest it's been, I think, in history. So all of this maternal leave and stuff is to get the right white birth rate back up, because if not, he is right about that. It is going to be, what is it, about 20 or 30 years white people are going to be in a minority.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
in California, sooner than that.
Yeah. So that is true. And that is a part of it's not a conspiracy. It's actually a plan that's out there that's in the works. So it's not, that part is not necessarily a conspiracy.
No. I'm not saying any of this is a conspiracy theory.
But
I'm just saying that.
But the fact that he says it.
Right. He's on a white nationalist podcast.
As I've always told you guys, there's always one. And this guy tends to be one of the five that they always pull out.
Well, they don't have to pull too hard. He's on a white nationalist podcast.
Right. He was to be, what was Samuel L. Jackson's character in Django? Steven. So he's Steven. Or as Malcolm X used to say, when they say, we hurt boss, he's the we in the we hurt.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Now, ironically, Gavin Newsom has proposed new legislation in California. I mean, he's suggesting it. He's the governor. He can't actually put legislation in. But he's pushing for 6 months of parental leave.
Yeah, that's all about white women.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's about, and it's, but here's the thing. It's something that actually will benefit all women.
Right.
And all families, too.
Right, right. But make no bones about it. This is about white women. This is about getting the white birth rate up.
Well, you think everything's about white women.
Huh? I mean, no, not everything, but this definitely is. It's all about getting the white birth rate up. White women are the most protected class in this country and are the biggest victims at the same time. It's ridiculous.
All right, Judge Jason, it's too late for Leslie and I. And she's part Native American, so I'm going to need you and Christine truckloads of white babies.
Yeah. No, thanks.
I know you've got the second one on the way.
Yeah.
That's not enough. We need a truckload from you.
You need at least 10 more.
Yeah. Well, I think you need to go to at least six. I think you need a six-pack. Yeah. You need a six-pack.
Yeah.
That's what you need. You need a three-on-three basketball game.
Yeah, I'm all right.
Or you can have Philip Rivers have a couple more for you.
Oh, it's true. Philip Rivers is doing his best.
He has 10.
He really is.
Or the 10th one is on the way.
And the Duggars.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers and the Duggars. Yeah. By the way, I don't know what it is. It's a lot. It's usually white people who love Jesus.
Yes.
Why do people who love Jesus so much kick out so many kids?
There is a
They don't just love Jesus. They got to yell about how much they love Jesus.
The Quiverfuls. That's a sect that's their whole idea is just to keep having babies.
Well, not Robin Quiver. She doesn't have any.
No, some of them not her.
Like have sex that much. I mean, like honestly, like that's
only for procreation, Jason.
Yeah. Well, they're always trying.
That's right.
Yeah.
There's
a group of people called the Quiverfuls, and that's what they're doing. They find a passage in the Bible that says something about a quiverful of children, and that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, I mean, like, but you look at, there's families that I give always, like, Catholic families also, and, you know, like, and there's plenty of, like,
sure,
people that have, like,
Look, I come from a Catholic family, and there were, you know, both of my parents grew up on farms. My dad was the middle of five. My mom was the youngest of nine.
Yeah.
My mom has sisters and brothers who have six, seven kids each.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just, you know.
And a big part of that was they didn't believe in any type of protection.
Well, a bigger part of that was the more kids you have, the more help you have on the farm.
Yeah.
Exactly. Duh.
Yeah.
It's like, that too.
Yeah. Like I'm like Nate, I grew up like that. So there's a bunch of kids in our family, but that's because we all work.
Right.
Yeah.
From the time we were kids.
Change.
Oh, Jason's dropping change. Speaking of dropping dimes, Shaquille O'Neal is calling for people to back off of Kevin Hart.
In other news, the Oscars is coming up. Kevin Hart is probably most likely not going to host the Oscars. What are your thoughts about that whole situation? Do you think that, I mean, I always thought you'd be a good host for it. People love you. I think you'd be a great host for the Oscars, you know?
I don't, I'm never been asked. The whole Kevin Hart thing, some people feel he made a mistake. He apologized for his mistake. But I always thought that comedians were allowed to crack jokes. Anyone that knows Kevin Hart should know anything that he says was never malicious. He's a comedian, and some great comedians have said a lot of things, but, you know, sometimes it rubs people the wrong way. He apologized for it. He shouldn't have to keep apologizing. He apologized twice already for it, and people should just move on. Everybody makes mistakes, even the ones that are commenting about it. And, oh, he did this, he did that. You guys make mistakes, too. So he apologized for it. We should just move on.
You know who should apologize? The asshole who shot that interview with Shaq and had that shitty audio.
Yes.
That's who should apologize. First of all, shitty audio, terrible lighting, and mute the TV in the room.
That is true.
I'm surprised that, well, it's probably not on, it's on TMZ's like website, right? It's not on YouTube.
It's on TMZ, yeah.
Because it would be, I guess, like YouTube mutes out, like, well, like, if you have something playing in the background, it'll block your video.
Sometimes if it's copyrighted. That wasn't really loud enough to understand, so it's, since it wasn't intelligible, it was just noise, really. They probably would not have.
I don't know, man. That's fucking YouTube, guys.
Badass.
They're telling people to have shitloads of kids.
That's right. Go out and do it. Meanwhile, a little bit of a bad time for radio and internet personality Alex Jones. Six families of victims killed at Sandy Hook Elementary won a victory on Friday. In their fight against Alex Jones.
Sandy Hook shooting massacre in Newtown, Connecticut. The families of six victims won pretrial access to information about controversial host and conspiracy theorist Alex Jones and his program InfoWars. The family sued Jones for defamation for his repeated claims that the deadly shooting was a hoax. 20 elementary students and six educators were murdered during that rampage.
But getting into his financials.
Get him.
That's never a good sign. When you're someone like that, they get into your financials, they're going to find something.
Mm-hmm.
Bad things. Bad things. And it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, right?
Of course not.
Fucking, ugh.
It's going to come out that Trump gave a bunch of money to him.
Hey, Trump's been on his show.
It's only entertainment. I don't really mean what I'm saying.
Uh-huh. He only says that when he goes to court.
Yeah. This is only.
Well, that's why he's a radio personality.
Uh-huh.
That's why he's a personality. He's
not this is my person. This is my personality for the show. I don't mean any of the shit that I've said today.
I mean, we do exaggerate for the show at times, but there's a difference between exaggerating and making shit up. Unless we say we're making shit up. All right. So sometimes when we say something on the show, we can catch a little flack for it. We drop a hot take and someone's like, hey, what the hell do you mean? Well, you remember Arian Foster?
Yes.
Former running back for the Houston Texans?
Yes.
He caught some flack a few years ago because he was like, I'm vegan. And everyone's like, you're vegan? And he's like, yeah, and I'll kick your ass. And I was like, well, he looks like he could kick my ass, so let's move on. Well, he's back at it, irritating the internet. He's facing a force more devastating than any defense. Angry Tupac fans. By the way, Arian Foster is actually a rapper and a huge Tupac fan. So He's named his debut album Flamingo and Koval, the intersection where Shakur was fatally shot. Adrian says he named the album that because of how deeply Pac's music has affected him. But when he sat down on Van Lathan's Red Pill podcast, he offered something Tupac fans don't want, a critique.
Pac is my favorite artist of all time. But to pretend that his music was just out of this world, intellectually deep.
It's just dishonest.
Arian, it's dishonest.
You're bugging.
He made great
music. Is this early onset CTE?
Is what I'm talking about? That's called an ad hominem.
Ad hominem attack.
You're
bugging.
I will listen to a Tupac record faster than anybody else, dog. But to pretend that it's as deep as... You know what you're
doing? Kendrick might be the deepest rapper.
Here's what you do and a lot of Tupac fans do. You conflate who Tupac was as a person with who Tupac was as an artist.
I feel like that was well reflected in his music, though.
No. That's what I'm trying to say, my nigga. No.
Come on, bro. Come on, man. You can't... so many of his songs are come on, man.
Don't look at me for...
I don't know what you're saying.
Don't look at me for confirmation. I'm with Foster.
Really?
Yes.
What?
So there are two Tupac hits that are inspirational. That's Keep Your Head Up. Three. So Keep Your Head Up, Dear Mama, and Brenda's Got a Baby.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the three. So what's the rest of the shit that he's popular for? I Get Around.
That's a party
How
anthem.
Do you want it? How does it feel? California Love.
Mm-hmm. So that's three for three. Three deep, meaningful songs.
Right. And the one which we, same song, which was the song that he was introduced on with Humpty.
Well, yeah, that's not the Sex Packets album, so you can't really.
Yeah, but that's where we saw first
right,
met Tupac.
He was their bag boy. Like he was there. But okay, so three for three. But there's also, but like then you have songs.
There you go. Thank you, Nate.
But you also have a song like you have Me and My Girlfriend. This is like. This is when he got with Death Row. Things got a little crazy when he got over there.
No, that's who he was.
That's what his music is.
That's his music.
That doesn't mean
No, I'm not.
So, as Arian said, so people conflate the interviews where he actually talks about some really deep shit with the music that ends up coming out. I'm not a Tupac fan, and I'm going to tell you why I'm not a Tupac fan. I'm not a Tupac fan because Tupac sold himself out and did not explain all the shit that he did in the interviews where he talked about all of these things, all of the shit, that all the books and stuff that he read, that he didn't make that at the forefront of who he was as an artist. If he had done that, he could have done way more for the community than he did by wanting to become a wannabe fucking gangster rapper. A wannabe fucking gangster. That's how he got killed, is because he, instead of understanding what his position was, he decided that he wanted to be a gangbanger. I watched Suge's there's a documentary on Showtime about Suge right now, where Antoine Fuqua did two interviews with him over a period of time. And anybody who talks about Tupac, who's been talking about him the last 2 years since they've been going back and doing the interviews about his death, they pretty much say he got caught up in the idea of being a gangbanger, not understanding that them cats in L.A. that bang for real.
Yeah, they ain't playing.
They're not playing. So he became he took a studio gangster and tried to be a gangster in the street. Instead of going back and talking about the shit that he was taught by his mama and the Panthers and making that the core of who he was as an artist. That's what Arian's saying. He didn't do that.
But we're also talking about, I mean, this was like the last... 4 years of his life. Like, really, like, that's where things changed, and that's where he got death row, and that's where you saw everything change in his life. So, and then he got gunned down. Like, so he got cut down.
He got gunned down.
But who's to say that he wouldn't have gotten gunned down, his life would not have been cut short, that he would not have turned around and saw the error of his ways. Dre saw what he, like, saw his, like, he's like, I need to get out of this. Peace. Like, no, peace, no. I'm out.
He got out because he knew he was going to get killed if he didn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
That's why he got out.
Yeah.
He didn't get out because he wanted to get out to be a better man. He got out to save his life.
No, I
that's a different conversation.
He knew there was, yeah.
He got out.
A matter of time.
Yeah, he got out to save his own life. That's why he got out. You know, you don't go from being 24 to 20. If you go from 24 to 28 and you're doing stupid shit at 28 that you didn't do at 24, you're doing the shit backwards.
True, but yeah. I don't know. I mean, I've never had something happen to me that's totally transformed, like, everything in my life as far as money, fame, all that type of stuff. I've never had that. Gone to jail, gotten out of jail, like, had to deal with that. Like,
had Madonna visit you in jail.
you know what I mean? I don't know, like, all the changes that I that I might. So, you know, I mean, but I understand. But I mean, like, to conflate, like, aside, like, what he did, I don't know, man.
He did some great interviews.
No, but
the interviews he did with
his contributions to hip hop and to music, as far as that's concerned,
the interviews he did with the lady from MTV,
Martha Quinn,
yeah. Great interview. An amazing interview.
Yeah.
A lot of insight into a whole bunch of things. There are a bunch of YouTube interviews that you can find that he did that was amazing. Music-wise, no. No. We thug life riders. That's what we are.
This was a diss track. You're like looking at a diss track that, like, was
okay,
specifically made.
Mate,
this is a diss track.
Put on Hit 'em Up. Not Hit 'em Up. Put on How Do You Want It?
Oh, sure.
So what are you trying to prove this now? How do you want it? How do you feel? Coming up as a nigga in a cash game, living in
a fast lane. Yeah, that's some deep shit right there. That's some deep shit right there.
Not every song is gonna be a ridiculously crazy deep song, and this was also when things that, and yeah, like, we could go on, like, there is, put on Me and My Girlfriend. That's right. Don't worry about it. But, like, the way that song is, it's cool.
Yeah, Arian was perfect. I mean, he was spot on in his.
What for you, in your opinion, you know, like, obviously the other guy did not feel that way in the interview.
No, Ben was so upset he took his hood down.
Yeah,
yeah.
They're sitting there doing an interview. Hoods were up on the hoodies.
Yeah.
Van took his hood down.
Yeah. So I mean, like,
yeah, because Van is you. You're Van.
I don't think Van would like that comparison.
I don't think he would either.
but it's the same thing.
But he might actually in the situation.
and that's the thing. Everybody's like, oh,
to you.
Like I said, great interview. But like I said. Positions on the floor, it's like a rock. There you go, right there.
Sam.
Yeah, like I said, if he had talked about the shit, if he had rapped about the shit that he learned in the Panthers.
He did it. He did at the beginning.
Yeah.
He did at the beginning for his first two albums.
And then he decided he wanted to be a studio gangster.
Right.
And then he tried to be a real gangster. Well, and the real gangster was like, nigga, we don't play that. Pop, pop.
All right.
Puffy.
I don't think we're going to solve
Puffy
anything here.
Puffy didn't do that to him. He did that to himself. Puffy didn't have shit to do with that.
So we crap on a lot of different states around the country because of stupid things that happen there. I think it's time to look inward.
Nice transition, mate.
Headline, California police hunt for doorbell licker caught in the act.
I'm going to give you a golf clap on that one.
Thank you. Police have identified and are seeking to arrest the man who was recorded vigorously licking the doorbell of a Northern California home early Saturday morning. Investigators say that Robert Arroyo, who's 33, spent several pre-dawn hours prowling around a Salinas residence. While the homeowners were away, the couple's children were inside the house. A surveillance camera captured Arroyo licking the doorbell from different angles.
I wonder what he was on.
He was also recorded relieving himself in the yard. When they do catch him, he's going to face a prowling charge and a theft count for stealing extension cords used in a Christmas light display.
So what kind of shit can you take that'll make you do that, Jason?
Additionally, since he's on probation, he will also likely be charged with violating terms and for release. His rap sheet includes prior callers for public intoxication, assault, resisting arrest, and narcotics possession.
Narcotics.
It's true. Also in the Golden State, in San Francisco, of all places, video out of California shows a man carrying a dead raccoon into a McDonald's and sitting down with it at a table.
What?
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that before you posted.
KGO reports Chris Brooks caught the unsettling footage at the San Francisco location Sunday morning. Wow! Expletive, this guy brings a damn raccoon into the McDonald's? I'm standing at the counter, a guy comes in yelling, help, help. Brooks and other customers were shocked to see what he was holding. Said, I didn't know if the raccoon was dead or alive. My thought was to get out of the way. The video shows someone in the restaurant removing the bloody animal and dumping it into a trash can outside. The Department of Environmental Health said the restaurant was closed 5 hours while the dining room was disinfected. Officials say it's now safe. We want to assure the public that McDonald's addressed the problem appropriately. They cleaned it, sanitized it, which is the main thing for us. Officers confronted the homeless man who brought the raccoon in, gave him a mental health evaluation, and determined that he did not need to be detained. He brought a dead bloody raccoon into McDonald's, threw it down on the table, and they talked to him and said, you know what, bruh? You're good.
Gotta go, gotta go.
Peace out. And that's California Corner.
Like, if you bring a raccoon in there, I gotta leave you because I don't know what else you're gonna do next.
Man.
That's where you put your raccoon down. I mean, that was amazing stuff. Meanwhile, in Texas, a woman has been banned from Walmart while she was riding a cart and drinking wine from a Pringles can.
What is wrong with people?
I don't know for sure, but she can't go in the Walmart anymore.
Man, that's bad times.
It really is. I mean, especially if you're in a small town and Walmart's really your only option.
Yeah.
It's like, now I can't go to the Walmart.
I mean, that's what you just do on a Friday night sometimes.
Sometimes that's what you got to do. Police were called to a Texas Walmart after a woman was reportedly drinking wine from a Pringles can and riding an electric cart in the parking lot. Officers responded to the call around 9 a.m., about a suspicious person in the parking lot. Investigators found the woman at a nearby restaurant. Let's scroll down. and told her she was banned from the Walmart.
Wow.
No word on whether she turned the Pringles into wine or just finished the Pringles and then dumped the wine in there for, you know, portability. I don't get that, but okay.
It's a paper can. It's cardboard.
Even if there's a little foil liner in there, it's not great. I'm just saying.
I wonder if she just liked, like, she's like, you know what I really crave today? Is I'd like some, I like a Cabernet with a nice dusting Sour cream and chive Pringles. I'll eat all the chips. And then I'll dump my bottle of wine in there. And I'll hang out at the Walmart.
I'm going to drive the cart around the parking lot. She wasn't actually in the Walmart. Oh. She was in the parking lot.
Yeah, well, there you go. That's a good time. Yeah. That is a good time.
It always, always is.
Florida.
Oh.
Land of enchantment. And crazy shit. This is Florida Corner.
Oh, it was quite a week in Florida, where a KFC worker allegedly smashed a drive-thru customer in the face. In the face, Jason.
Damn.
With a bag of extra crispy chicken and biscuits. That was after the patron complained his food was being prepared in an unsanitary manner.
What?
Now, according to the police report, after Ronald Jenkins, 53, placed an order at the KFC in Jacksonville, he became verbally upset with a female worker who was not wearing a hairnet or gloves while preparing his order. That's when Jenkins and KFC employee Shade Simmons exchanged words throughout the incident, which Jenkins recorded on his phone. With his order in hand, Simmons opened the drive-thru window and allegedly tossed the food at Jenkins, striking him in the face. When questioned by a Jacksonville Sheriff's Office deputy, Simmons says that Jenkins was very rude to her and snatched the food away from her. She added that she let go of the bag and observed the food land in Jenkins' lap.
Coming.
They didn't believe her. She was arrested on a battery charge. Jenkins claims that he suffered damage to a tooth and his glasses were knocked off when he was hit with his order. That's what happens when you throw shade.
When are people going to learn that you don't fuck with people that are cooking your food?
I don't know.
How did his tooth get chipped?
Meth. Simmons is now free on $5,000 bond, scheduled for a January 29th arraignment on the misdemeanor count. The Jacksonville resident, who's been ordered to have no contact with Jenkins, had previously been convicted of theft, trespass, and fighting. So that's who's preparing your KFC, Jacksonville. Shade. Also in Florida. Hold on. You know what? I need to get some real good Florida music for this.
Some Stitches?
No. Oh no, I don't think this is.
We've visited Stitches for a while.
It's true, we haven't. Alright, well, since you requested it, let's see if we can call Stitches up for you. I mean, this is more sexy than Stitches, but, Oh, you know what? I think this is more appropriate for this story. Is there anything sexier on a balmy winter night than two middle-aged Floridians having sex in public atop the hood of a car? Got money, we're told. Parked near the entrance to the Gulfport Veterans Memorial Park. According to police, Penny Snoots, 56, and Thomas Lewis, 58, were arrested early Tuesday evening for publicly engaging in lewd and lascivious behavior. See, a witness told cops he was pulling into his driveway around 7 p.m. when he spotted a man standing in the middle of the road receiving oral sex from the female subject.
Yes!
The couple then proceeded to have sex on the vehicle's hood.
Hot damn!
When Officer Selena Ramos of the Gulfport Police Department arrived on the scene, she identified Snoots and Lewis as the individuals seen consorting by the witness. As she drove up in her cruiser, Ramos saw Lewis, a St. Petersburg fireman, pulling up and buttoned his pants. The cop also spotted Snoots, whose rear end was exposed, walking away from Lewis and pulling up her pants. Snoots and Lewis, by the way, that would be a great morning show, wouldn't it?
Yeah, Snoots and Lewis.
Waking up with Snoots and Lewis. I'm Snoots.
I'm Lewis.
They were each arrested on a misdemeanor lewd and lascivious behavior charge. Booked into the Pinellas County Jail. Released on bond. Oh, by the way, Snoots was also hit with a marijuana possession charge after a small amount of pot was found in her bag. I'm just thinking with my being this bitch.
ain't gon' make it to the suite. I'ma put her on her knees right here in VIP. I'm a dog ass nigga.
Ironically, you don't have to be from Florida to have it infect you, because a Minnesota man vacationing in Florida made like a local, stripping off his clothes and masturbating while relaxing on a chaise on the roof deck of a St. Petersburg hotel. Jason Teets, T-I-E-T-Z, I'm going with Teets.
Yeah, Teets.
48 was busted Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday in Florida, well, on a lewd and lascivious exhibition charge in connection with his nude hijinks at the waterfront hotel Zamora. According to the affidavit, a female worker told cops she spotted the naked Teets exit a hotel elevator around 2 p.m. Oh, he was nude in the elevator?
Okay, has some balls. Like, the fact that nobody had said any, like, the fact that he got off, like, that he made it anywhere naked just goes to show you, like, fuck these people then.
He then proceeded to masturbate while sitting on a chair on the rooftop. The shocked employee summoned a male manager upon seeing the naked man. The manager subsequently confronted Teets, telling him he could not be naked in public and that he couldn't masturbate in front of people. Teets then stood up and said, "Well, watch me." No, he didn't.
Why not?
He said, why not?
Accompanied by the manager, walked down the stairs. When Teets reached the fourth floor, he darted into his room and locked the door. Ha-ha! Teets was later arrested when sheriff's deputies arrived. He was booked in the county jail, then released on bond. Oh, by the way, this is the third time Teets has been arrested in recent weeks. He was busted January 3rd for trespassing after allegedly refusing to leave a bar at the Beachcomber Beach Resort and Hotel in St. Petersburg. Back on December 15th, Teets was arrested at a Ramada Inn in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, after allegedly exposing himself and masturbating in front of children at the hotel. Not okay, Teets.
Teets. Son of a bitch.
He lives in a Minneapolis suburb, is a hunting enthusiast whose Facebook page contains photos of various animals that he's killed.
I wonder if he fucked them too.
Well, he beat off over the corpses, of course, as is tradition.
They need a DNA test.
The construction worker's tattoos include ink of an American flag, a bald eagle, and of course the year 1776. Oh, there he is with the cutest puppy ever that he masturbates on every night.
Oh, the puppy looks scared.
Well, yeah.
The puppy's like, "Get me out of here, mister."
I can't imagine the chafing this guy has. So bad.
He looks like Corbin Burnson.
A little bit in Major League. Corbin Burnson in Major League.
Yeah, so like 20, 30 years ago.
Yeah. I ask you the question, Kareem, why don't you snoop? Why don't you snoop?
Snoop.
Not Snoop Dogg.
Like snoop around.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Look at things that you should be looking at.
Yeah. Get nosy.
Why shouldn't you get nosy?
Because you might find some shit that you don't really want to know about.
Oh, well, that happened. See, a mom in England was shocked when she discovered a mysterious CD in a drawer at home, which contained some unseen pictures from her wedding. Now, the disc was labeled in her mother-in-law's handwriting, and when the woman found it, it contained over 400 images from her special day. And she was not in a single one of them.
That means you don't want you in the family.
And the disgruntled bride took to Mumsnet to share her annoyance at the edited collection of the wedding snaps. She said, "I mean, WTF, not one. Clever angles ensured I was always hidden, or group shots that were clearly half on a photo on which I would have been standing next to my newly minted husband in the other half. Just 400 photos of a man getting married on his own."
Now you know how she feels about you.
Ooh, what's on this? You don't want to know.
No.
That's why you don't ask questions.
That's why you said don't ask questions you don't already know the answers to.
You don't want to know the answers to. All right, where are we here? Oh, God, we're over time anyway. We have a lot of Ohio stuff, too, but we'll save that for next time. Because we got two shows to do tonight. We want to make sure you guys get out of here and, wrap stuff up. Let's do this.
Oh.
Let's leave the hustle and bustle for small town news.
Oh, I didn't want to do that. Damn it. I accidentally clicked sign in.
Poop.
you don't really want to do that. I'm just saying. That's what you really do not want to do. This comes to us from Maine. Maine. A Maine snowmobiler drove his sled 8 miles on Friday night with a fractured leg after he was involved in a chain reaction snowmobile accident that was started by a moose. Brian Saucier, who's 44, was the last sled of three riding around 6 p.m. on Friday on ITS 110 when the lead rider, Alex Giebitz from Eastburn, New York, saw a young moose on the trail west of Greenville. Now, according to information released by John McDonald, a spokesman for the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, they were able to avoid the moose, but Juan Fernandez, 33, from Alma, New York, who was riding a 2015 Ski-Doo Renegade, was unable to avoid the animal and collided with it. Come on! Come on, Juan!
Dude.
Can I say something really racist right now?
Sure.
Why is someone named Juan Fernandez riding a snowmobile in Maine?
They have restaurants too, bro.
Sorry. The guys are all from New York. They just happen to be in Maine. The impact killed the animal and caused considerable damage to Fernandez's sled, as you would imagine. Now, in his attempt to avoid the moose, Saucier collided with the rear end of Fernandez's sled, and the impact fractured his right leg.
Ooh.
Yeah, he was able to ride his 2018 Yamaha Sidewinder. I love that they list all of the snowmobiles.
Yeah, it's an ad.
Back to their camp in Elliottsville, where he was moved to a private vehicle and taken to Eastern Maine Medical Center in Bangor. According to the investigating warden, Kevin Pelkey, all three men were wearing helmets. The trio were issued a permit to keep the moose.
Oh, wow.
That's right. So good news. You get to keep the moose.
Oh, my God. Get your passenger. Son of a bitch.
Yes. Yeah, you get to keep your moose.
Doing good, guys. You got a moose.
Yeah.
So I'm thinking that's some moose soup now.
Right? Unbelievable.
She's got the moose soup now.
Oh, boy.
I wish I had a soundboard of it.
I wish my soundboard didn't get booted when I upgraded my
stupid iPad.
My iPad. Thanks so much.
Stupid iPad iOS systems.
Better than Android.
Well, now I gotta find this because.
Retarded amateur idiots.
You are a smelly pirate hooker.
Goodbye.
Our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
A lot of stuff going on there. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode of the Nate Darling Show. We learned a lot today.
We did.
Covered a lot of ground. I didn't, but you guys fought about Tupac. I shed some light on Donald Trump's phone. And we learned what snowmobiles guys from New York ride when they hit moose.
Yeah, it's a moose.
And we also didn't learn about things that happened in Ohio.
But
maybe next time.
Maybe next week.
Maybe Friday.
Maybe Friday.
Oh, and good luck in jail. The situation.
Yeah. I was gonna make a right. When you talked about the situation earlier, I was gonna make it. Oh yeah, unless you're going to jail.
Yeah, he'll be back in a few months.
In a few months. But yeah, listen, he'll have great pecs when he comes out.
Sure.
He'll be cut.
His brother's in jail for 2 years, so.
Oh, there you go.
Yep.
You hang out. Play some b-ball.
Can't cheat the tax man.
No.
All right, that's going to do it for us. We'll be back on Friday, another fresh news show for you. Remember, hit the Shop Amazon or Shop Target tabs to get your stuff and help support the show. They're right at the top of NateDarlingShow.com. Enjoy some Jerry Reed. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.